Please turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis chapter 33. I'm going to read verses 9 through 11 of Genesis 33. Would you look at that with me? And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand, for therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. I want to talk to you this morning about enough. What we have just read in these three verses are some of the most profound parts of Scripture, I believe. You just don't see anywhere people say, "I have enough." Can you say that this morning? You might say, I mean, in your heart, do you have enough? Do you feel like you're good enough? Do you have talents enough, you think? Or do you have enough? Is God enough? One of the ways that we can create hell on earth, I think we do that a lot, is because we don't know what's enough. And we get in this battle in life, and you know, nothing is ever enough. And what happens is we don't enjoy life. We don't enjoy God. We end up having resentful feelings, bitterness, anger even. We just miss the blessings of God. You know, it's a problem. Now you have to look at this in your own self. There's a problem when you focus is more on what you don't have than what you do have. And we're living in a culture that wants us to want. I would say that coveting is a national pastime in America. Nobody has enough. The world don't want you to have enough. They ain't got a solution to get a little more. And then when you get, you know, just a little bit more, a little bit more, never have enough. Under the theme of the Big E's, this one is enough. And every one of them has to do with the relationship. Last week we talked about envy. It's a big deal, envy is. Christians struggle with that too. And so I want to talk about enough. And maybe I want to talk about later encouragement and eternal life. But it's all about relationship. And so it's a matter of thinking, when I want to, let me say this about the context of these three verses, Esau and Jacob. You got two guys here, they're brothers. Now it is even more rare that brothers in the same family can both say, "I have enough." But that's what you see. Now one of the things too that is unique about this conversation with Jacob and Esau, you know that Jacob, who was a figure of the elect family of God, I mean, these are the same two that God used in Genesis 9 to give us the picture of election, where he said, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." So I think that really, without any doubt, we could understand that these two men, you got a believer and a non-believer, you got a saved person and an unsaved person, yet they both have enough. See, know this, that being content is not necessarily a spiritual virtue. There's a lot of people that say that I got enough, that do not know God. There's a lot of moral people in this world who don't commit near the sins I commit, that are not believers. But once you are awakened spiritually by God, and you are given His Spirit, and you are a child of God, then you won't ever be able to say, I have enough, without God. You won't. And so you know the story. Jacob, you know, deceived Esau and got his blessing from the father, Isaac. And you know Esau sold his birthright because he was hungry for a bowl of pottage soup. And so now they're going to meet. Jacob has just wrestled with an angel and lost. And his name changed. Because now he has power with God. And so now, though, he is going to meet his brother Esau. And so he knows what's coming to him probably. He's afraid of Esau, because he has lied and cheated to him so much. And so he tries to buy his favor. And so he lines up. You can read this in the chapter before, in part earlier of this chapter. He gives him a bunch of cows and goats and sheep and donkeys and horses. He lines them up, says, brings him his gifts. I think sometimes we find ourselves as parents, you know, we try to buy our children's favor. We want to make sure they have enough. We give them more than enough. And a lot of us have been brought up like that. But God doesn't raise His spiritual children with a silver spoon. He doesn't. So what God will do, now you listen to me, because I know this, you might have experienced it, if not you will. Sometimes God will break your heart just so you'll know you have enough. I've said before that God will hurt you. He will. He never harms you, but He does hurt us, because this is how it is. It's a relationship. And it's a relationship between us and God. And what we got to understand is that God is enough. And that we are to depend upon Him fully and totally. And here's what happens, though. We go to everybody else or everything else but God when we need something. You know, especially in a relationship. You know, I need this relationship. And you get in the wrong relationship. And what you need is God. The problems we have in our world today, it's not because we don't have enough education. It's not because we don't have enough money or enough ability. Our problem is we don't have enough God. See, God's not going to share His room with somebody else. It's either God or nothing. So we depend on God. And so that's my first thing. I want you to know with me that God is enough. He is all sufficient. Now, when I mean God is enough, I really mean that God is enough. Every problem that you and I have go away when we say God is enough. You know why? Because thy will be done is about the same as saying God is enough. You take the tragic murder of Charlie Kirk. What do you say? Well, the left is all this and the hatred. That's no answer. Oh, well, how can we stop this? Or what is it? No, what you say is God is enough. That's what he said. Understand that his favorite Bible verse, according to his wife, was Romans 8:28. All things that work together for all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, those that are called according to his purpose. Now that was his favorite Bible verse. So you got to believe it. You don't understand it, but what it really says is God is enough. See? That's the communication that God is wanting you and me to know. And I'll tell you this. I believe that the greatest discovery that any Christian can have is to realize without a shadow of a doubt that absolutely, without any failings or diminishing, God is enough. It's about a relationship. He loves you. That's enough. You see, a little child does not have to have his or her mama, daddy walking around making promises to him all the time. One night a little boy was hard time sleeping. He turns over and he says, "Daddy, are you there?" To which his daddy said, "Yes, son, I'm here." And the little boy turned over and went to sleep. God is there. That is the answer to everything, my friend. When two people love each other, they don't have to say, "I love you," all the time. In fact, if they do say that all the time, I wonder if their love is really genuine. They don't have to make promises because that love connects it. I want you to know that God loves you. How do you know that? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He took your place there. And the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not a bullet from an assassin. Not anything else. God is enough. You get that in your heart and you keep it there, okay? It will change your life. It will change your perspective. Now, what I'm talking about is it's pure and simple. We want to complicate things. See, when I'm saying God is enough, you know, the scripture, what is it? Psalm 23 starts off, "The Lord's shepherd, or as much as I shall not want." But you know what? We still want. Well, we want to do good works. We think that's what God is impressed by. We believe in Jesus, but we've got to have some add-ons. We've got to have feelings. I want you to know today that it's not about promises. I'm going to tell you, this book is wonderful. All of it is true, but sometimes they fade. It's not about doctrine. As wonderful as that is. It really gets to understanding that God is enough. It is. It's just basic. Some of you grew up on the farm or maybe during some tougher times economically. You know, it used to be peas was kind of a staple. I mean, you didn't have the pizza and the spaghetti and cheeses and all that kind of stuff. You had peas and cornbread. You know, I thought about that. You could say, well, I don't know what's enough. I remember when our son was dying, I hear somebody at my front door. And then I look out there, and there's Sister Edna Mae Proctor. I don't know if some of you ever knew her or not. She's related to Sister Marilyn. She's standing there in her 90s, holding a bowl of peas. And she's so weak, she's rocking back and forth. Now what is a bowl of peas when your son's dying? I'll tell you what, it's enough. You hear me? I mean, she didn't even have a bowl of peas. Just her presence. That's enough. You ever been to somebody that was hurting and you know what to say or do? You just what? Just your presence. I remember hearing a story about a guy, they called him kind of a slow guy, you know, and it was a long time ago. He said one time he was out in the country, a storm came up, and his family was trying to find him, and they couldn't find him. They got real concerned, started searching for him. After the storm was over, he come walking up there all wet. They said, Ernest, where you been? He said, man, I went out in the pea patch. You did what? I went out in the peas and I just laid down in the garden between the rows. Well, why did you do that, Ernest? He said, I'm going to tell you what, those peas have saved me so many times. I just figured that saved me from the storm. God is enough. Don't you ever doubt that. If you don't feel like it, it's a relationship. It's a covenant. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That ought to be enough. I never will forget introducing my wife now, Penny, to a guy by the name of Brother Ralph Reiner. He's a preacher then. He passed. He's in heaven now. And so I said, Brother Ralph, this is my wife, Penny. And he said, well, Brother Randy, one thing about it, you'll never be broke. I said, sir? He said, you'll always have a penny. I want you to know this, you'll always have God. You know, sometimes, and I know I've told you this before, sometimes Penny and I'll be riding down the road. We don't turn the radio on. We don't have to pop a CD in there. We just ride down the road. We don't say a word. Neither one of us. One time we were coming from the Bible conference down in Brunswick. We was on I-95, and we was riding down the road kind of at night. I was thinking to myself, I said, what have I done to make Penny mad? She's not saying a word. But then a moment hit me. I said, you know what? That woman loves you, Randy. And you love her. And that's all right with me. You don't have to do lip service. You don't have to mumble things out. I'm going to tell you what, a short prayer is enough. When you pray in Jesus' name, that's acknowledging that God is enough. He's enough. And we can go out home now. But I want to ask you this. I want to tell you this. You know, that doesn't mean that you're not going to hurt. I just want you to understand, God will open your heart up. He will break through. He really, what God will do, he will force us. Yes, he will. Do you understand that he's enough? And bring my second thought is this, grace is enough. Paul shouted from God to God, get my thorn out of here. I don't want this problem. God says, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you grace. You see the difference in Esau saying he had enough. You know, there's people that say they have enough that don't know what they don't know. See, the man in Luke 12 that built the barns because he had enough and more, he said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to take it easy in this. I got enough. But then he finds out that he was going to go to hell. So these barns, they don't mean so much. Okay? I mean, so the prodigal son, Luke 15. He tells his dad, he said, look, I don't have enough. I want something else. I got something else I want to do. So his daddy said, all right, here, take this, son, and go. God, yeah, thank you, Judy. God in his time. See, he'll let you go. He'll think you can make it, you know, you think you can feed on this world. You think you can feed on your feelings and trying to please people. So the prodigal gets out there and he gets so distraught. All his friends leave him when everything else left him. Not like Freddie Rourke told me one time when he quit drinking. All his beer drinking friends would come around and say, Freddie, let's go out. He said, man, I don't do that no more. He said, Brother Rennie, you know what? I didn't have near as many friends I thought I had after that. Sometimes there's people in your life that like you just enough to see what they can get out of you. See? So the prodigal gets to that point, and what he says, wait a minute. He comes to himself. That's what grace does. He says, that they and the servants in my father's house have enough. And I'm out here eating out of these pig pens. What I want you to know today, you make up your mind to serve God, and you'll always have enough. And you'll realize it, what enough is. See? And that's what grace does. Notice that Jacob said, the Lord has been gracious to me. So you go home today and you look around your household, at your family, at your friends, at your belongings, and you say, you know what? This all is from the hand of God. Because it is. Everything is from God. Everything. And we need to thank him. That's what it is about being grateful. That's what grace does. See, it's not about how many things you have. You know what wealth really is? Wealth is how much or how content you are with the things that you have. Because here's the deal. God is not going to give us everything we want. Aren't we glad? But he is committed to giving everything that we need. Philippians 4:19. He will supply all our needs through Christ Jesus our Lord. Colossians says that we have all things in Christ. You can't serve two masters. No. We need to quit. We need to just shake that off and say, God, I love you. You are enough. And you know what? You need to make those people God has put in your life feel that way too. Whether that be your husband or a wife or children. Because they're from God too, you know. So God is enough. Grace is enough. See, we're almost home. You know this world's not your home, don't you? And you know what? God has arranged it so by his wise providence. We're going to make it. But we won't have anything left over. But we have enough. We will. Just enough. Thirdly, I want to say about enough is that God has made us by his grace, because of his love, godly enough. You say, well, preacher, I feel so full of sin and unworthy. You're telling the truth. But that, my friends, is the prerequisite for God's enough. Jesus died for sinners. Don't let that get out your mind. Say this. How good is good enough to get to heaven? Are you good enough? You know how good you got to be to get to heaven? Perfect. What? Nobody's going to make it. Oh, yeah. You know what's going to make it? Everyone that Christ died for. Because you know what Christ did on Calvary? He died, he shed his blood, not only to pay our sin debt, but when he rose again, he made it a sure thing that God had accepted that, and God said, I'm going to impute that righteousness in all of those that you have died for and that I have given you to die for. A relationship. Jeremiah 32 says, God says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We serve a holy, righteous God who doesn't put up with sin. He doesn't put up with anything less than depending on him. And if we are not saying God is enough, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. I mean, even Esau. Even the ungodly, that don't only say, they'll people that I have enough. I mean, come do what I do. Make this investment. Make this and that. You know, you have enough. But the thing about grace and the thing about what godliness does. Turn with me just quickly. I know we get past time and you get upset and I do too, but 1 Timothy 6. Look at this with me. I'm talking about God. I wanted to mesh this before we go into the enough. And it's about a relationship, because here's what it says. Verse 6 of 1 Timothy 6. You've heard these verses before, but you probably never liked them too much. I know I never did. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. See, Jacob has godliness with contentment. Esau has contentment. You can have contentment without godliness, you see. Well, lots of people like that. You know, you can be content, just be lazy. There's people don't want to work. I mean, they satisfied with their food stamp. They don't give a rip about anything. You know, you offer them a job, they want to know, what kind of position is it? How many days I get off? But when you put godliness, you know what that means? This means that you're not lazy. It is nothing wrong with having ambition when you have godliness in your content. In fact, it breeds ambition. You want to do more because God, see, we do everything to glorify Him. Whatever you do, He says, do all with your mind and power. So I'm not talking about, no. I hope you don't understand. I'm not talking about just, well, God is enough and I'm not going to do anything. I want to just let God do. I don't want anything. See, you don't have the godliness in him. Look at verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Did you know that? You know what you come in this world? You know how many clothes you had on? Nothing. You came in here naked. Well, wait a minute. How's God going to be enough? You know what Job said? I mean, he lost everything. But God. But he was enough because he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Habakkuk 3, 17, 18, in that wonderful prayer, he says, although there are no beef in the stall and no crops in the field, everything's gone, yet will I delight in my God. Because he's enough. And you know what, really? It doesn't matter what you got or don't have. If you have God, you have enough. And if you don't have God, nothing is enough. You understand that all that glitters is not gold. It glitters, though. It looks good. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. That's what it says, certain. We can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. In other words, let's say, have enough. Did you know that God says, I will care for the little sparrows? And you are more valuable than these sparrows. You know what God said? I'm enough. Don't worry. What are we worried about? We're worried about if we're going to have enough, aren't we? We're going to have enough to go to the nursing home when that time comes. We're going to have enough. My children are going to have enough. My wife's going to have enough. I'm going to tell you, God is enough. And it belittles us and shames him when we act like he's not enough. When he is the shepherd of our souls. And to go around with long faces thinking, well, you know what, God, why am I have to deal with this disappointment? What you really saying is, God, you never was enough. It's going to come out. You know what? Our hurts and our problems and our losses, you can still have enough and have all those, by the way. But what they will do, they will either make us closer to God or farther from. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. What I was trying to say earlier was, don't be caught up in the consumerism trap that you got to have this or that. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now you've about heard enough, haven't you? Probably I've said enough. And really all I should have said is God is enough. Next time you have to deal with an issue in life you don't understand. The next time some sin tempts you and you have doubts and fears and you got them coming, don't think you won't. You just say God is enough. And when the devil comes along and whispers in your ear that you need this or that, you call him a liar. For Jesus is enough. You know, by the way, you know the best reason to follow Jesus? I don't know if you're doing that or not. I hope you are. You don't know if I am. One of the best ways to understand that is to realize that he's enough. I mean, the disciples, I understand that Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. And you know, once we get rid of selfishness, God will be enough. Do you want that or not? See, a person that doesn't deal with covet, you know what that person looks like? Here's a person that has peace in every circumstance. Come hell or high water. You understand that? When God is enough. That doesn't mean you don't want a bigger house or a new car. Nothing wrong with that. But don't that make that get so infatuated and eat up with it that it becomes your mindset. Keep your mind on God. He is the only one that is a solution to all this mess here on earth. Isaiah 42 says, there's no peace for the wicked. Isaiah 26, he says, he that keeps his mind on thee is in perfect peace. Don't be distracted. And that's easy to be in our world today. Have you got a better relationship with your cell phone than you do God? You know, it's a shame, I admit this. The other day, I left the house just to go for a short distance, and I left my phone, and I felt so bad. And yet, we do things, and we just leave God out of it, and it don't even bother us. There are people that love their dogs more than they love God. Nothing wrong with dogs. I love them too. I'm just saying, God is enough. He has called you to live like it. And he has furthermore given us certain things, even material things, to test us. He has given us problems. Did you know that you are destined? Now listen to him. You don't like this either. I don't either. You are destined, along with me, to bear all the problems in this life that God has ordained for you to bear. See, I'm not talking about being qualified to get to heaven or to be holy enough for God. What God does is qualify the unqualified. Your godly lifestyle is evidence that God has given you his spirit. And with that, you can be sure you will be in heaven one day with Jesus. You will be there not because you're good enough, and you won't be there because you were too bad. You will be there because Jesus said so. You remember he called the thief, the one that repented. He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's all he needed to say. Look at this book and look at God. Find your sustenance. Find your food for your soul. And you'll have enough, I promise you. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for being enough. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking something else or somebody else will and has been. Help us kick that out of our hearts and minds and cleave to you. Lord, help us do not serve you after the loaves or some miracle or some good thing that you might give us. Help us just serve you, the bare God, with nothing but God. Well, Lord, you're all we need. We don't need any of these extras. What we think we need, Lord, if you don't want us to have them, help us learn to live without them. We'd be better off. Thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of the enoughness and the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.